Good evening, praise the Lord. Let's start our worship with the prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life, in the life of your chosen people, since morning till now. Thank you for all that you allow us to achieve in various places and in various circumstances. Thank you for all the members and workers and the pastors, elders, and also leaders and parents and workers in the church. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for doing miracles and wonders, providing our needs and healing the sick, doing miracles. Thank you for dealing with sin. And thank you for all the rebuke and the correction that you bestow and the discipline that you allow to take a place in the life of each member and worker, family, congregation of your church. And Lord, here we are today, we're coming to worship you, invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, with each and every one of us here, and also with all the brethren, the families, and also the congregations and the other places. Bless, O Lord, the place that you had placed your church here in UAE and in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, Australia, America, Sierra Leone, and also Malawi. Pray for favor that we will receive from you and from men. We'll be able to continue to evangelize and do the work of yours fully in the name of Jesus. We pray also for more people to be saved through our ministries. And we pray for more Bible studies and more evangelism and more people to come to faith and receive water baptism in the name of Jesus. I pray for refilling again with the Holy Spirit of each and every one of us, fresh Holy Spirit to go on and save and those who have not yet baptized. We pray that they will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, gift of healing, faith, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, showing mercy, giving, administration, leaderships, all the gifts that we need as a church. We trust you, Lord, that you provide for us. And we pray for our protection from this virus, coronavirus, protect us. And also we pray, whatever your will of allowing this to take place, we pray let your will be done. We pray, bless the ministry of the homeschooling, watchman ministry, the ministry of farming, the Bible study and discipleship and evangelism. Lord, we pray, you add to our numbers and you add to us for each and every meeting and Bible studies. Add more people, O God. I pray for also that you anoint the internet and the media that we use to reach new people this time. We pray for a fruitful ministry. Thank you, God. Once again, we invite you in the middle of us in our worship. Oh God, anoint the songs, the prayers, the giving, the message, the instruments, even this recording. You anointed, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. Let us confess to God our sins, our shortcomings. Let nothing hinder God's work in our midst. Let no sin hinder us. Let us confess our sin to God. So we can enter the most holy place with the blood of Jesus. As we repent and renounce Him, commit yourself to God that you will not repeat this wrongdoing again. As you receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus, repent and renounce all your wrongdoing. bless the hearts of your people, of each and every one of us here and other places. Let be true repentance, true coming back to you, true change of life, sincerity, honesty in your presence, so that your blessing will flow. Speak to each and every one of us to fear you, to consider your ways and your word as the only truth, and believe in what you wrote that you will do. O God, anoint the rest of our worship and speak to us. Let your word change us and transform us. Instruct us as we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. For you to live for you alone and only to serve you, direct us into the ministry and the assignments that you want us to achieve and accomplish for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, O God, thank you for your word to us. As we continue to pray and intercede, we want to hear from you what we need to do. Direct us, O God, with your word and your voice to understand your will and accomplish the task assigned to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated in God's presence and let us collect our tithes and offerings and our first fruits and vows to God. Lord, thank you for all the jobs and incomes and salaries that we are receiving. Lord, bless this portion that you're bringing back to you, the tithes, the offerings. Our first fruit to you, Lord. Bless it, O God. Bless our jobs. Open the windows of heaven and bless us. And pour out blessing in our lives. Rebuke the devourer in our lives in the name of Jesus. And teach us and guide us to do the work of yours and your will. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray also multiply this amount of money and use it to reach the lost. I pray for those who have no job, give them a job and income. I pray for those who have pending salaries, I pray they will receive it. Pray for those, O God, who has unstable job, make a way, Lord, that they will have a stable job and income. We bless you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read last message about Ruth. As we're meditating on the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4 verse 17. Where we found that Obed was born. The new baby boy for Ruth and Boaz, and he became the son of Noemi, the rest of the name of the dead. His name, they name him Obed. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Noemi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. The meaning of Obed is servant or serving. And Obed should rise as a servant of the Lord. Amen. Each and every child that's born in our midst, in our families, this child or those children should be raised up in serving the Lord. And we will see from the scriptures how this will take place. You know, we will be directed today to speak about the fivefold ministry that we can read about in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 11 to verse 16. Say, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this is in pertain to the church, the fivefold ministry. Now, what is the relation here about speaking about how to apply this in the life of each and every family? The church composed of members, and the members interact between one another inside the body of Christ. And the smallest unit in the church is the family. And here the fivefold ministry, it needs to be transmitted to the family, because families are composed of members and they need to interact between one another. Now, for Obed to be raised up to serve God, we say here in Ephesians 4:12, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Obed should be raised up and trained for the work of the ministry. Our children, they need to be born again. They need to be trained and equipped for the work of the ministry. Where is the place to do that? Inside each and every family. Let us now see how the fivefold ministry can be adopted inside each and every family that's composed of the church. It says in verse 11, he gave some apostles. Apostles are those who are sent by God, and those who had laid the foundation of the New Testament church. Their life accompanied by signs and wonders. Now we, the disciples of the Lord, that we are doing and continuing the apostles' ministry, we are not apostles, but we are doing the apostles' ministry to lay the foundation of the church as the Lord Jesus Christ commanded to be. The second office is the office of prophets. Prophets are those who declare the whole will of God. They will tell also what will take place. For the obedient, they will prophesy blessing. And for the disobedient, curses and troubles and God's wrath. The third office is the office of evangelists. Evangelists are those who bring the word of God and the message and the name of Jesus, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the places that they had never heard about Christ. They are the one who evangelize the good news that Christ died for the sin of the whole world, and instruct the people whom they are reaching out to repent of their sins and come to God in repentance, so they will have eternal life. The fourth office is pastors. Pastors are responsible to feed the flocks, to teach, to disciple, to care, to provide the spiritual needs, to guide, to protect, and also to take away the disciples, the flock, from threats and dangers and false teachings. And the last office is the teachers. Teachers are responsible to explain profoundly the meaning and the application of the word of God, and they are the one to implement the teaching and the discipline of the Lord. Now, how these five offices can be implemented inside the family? The office of the apostles. The parents should work with the church that they belong to implement the apostles' teaching in their family and impart them to their children. Second, the office of prophets. The parents should declare to their children the whole will of God, and they will warn them. If they will obey the plan of God, they will obey the word of God, they will be blessed. And if they will disobey, curses and troubles will follow them. They are the one who receive the plans of God for their children and impart it for their children. The third office is the office of evangelists. The parents should be the first one who tell to their children about Jesus, about his death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, and instruct them to repent and come to the Lord and giving their lives to him, so they will be saved, will have eternal life. And the fourth office is the pastors. The parents are responsible to provide all what is needed for the children, the basic need, what they need for their life, plus they need to provide for them the atmosphere to grow. That's why each and every family should get involved daily with the prayer, reading the Word of God together, worshiping together, kneeling down, and that is where they are pastored with this kind of gift, the gift of pastors. And the last one is the office of teachers. Here, the family should be the place to disciple and to discipline the children. The strictness and teaching them to go through the narrow way that God wants them to go. And that is the new family that we had read and formed in the book of Ruth, the family of Boaz, married to Ruth, and Naomi there in their house. These three are responsible to care for the boy and teach him and train him that he will be the servant of God in the future. Each and every family are responsible, and the purpose of God of forming family is this only, no other things. The church should work with the families, with each and every family, and the families should work with the church to lay the apostles' teaching and the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have read, to be imparted inside the family for the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, certain time, we know that each and every family composed of father and mother and children, but certain time we have in the family grandparents, uncle, aunties, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, you know, these, when they are present, are also needed to get involved with that process. The whole family, the parents with the children, plus whoever is there, grandparents, uncle, auntie, they need to get involved together in the process of discipleship. They must have one mind and one direction. They should agree with the church, and the church should agree with the word of God to impart the teaching of the Lord inside each and every family. Now for the family of Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi, we can explain how these all gifts will work together. Speaking about Ruth with her experience, the new experience and joyous experience to receive the Lord, and how she committed her life and how God blessed her, she should be the first one to evangelize to Obed, to tell him about the Lord. Mothers, when they are taking care of their children, they give them a breast and carry them and give them milk, they must be the one to tell them about Jesus. Children should be the first hearing Jesus from their mothers who care for them. Boaz, as being the father, he should be the pastor for this child to provide his physical needs. In addition, that he will provide the atmosphere, the right atmosphere in the house to raise this child as a disciple of the Lord. Boss should be also to be the teacher who is going to be strict and disciplinarian for his son Obed when he go away from the Lord. Noemi, she can be a good prophet for this child. Noemi, with her experience, how she went out away from the Lord, and how the Lord disciplined her, and she came back, she can tell to the child the good plan that God has for him. And she can also tell him and warn him, if you're going through this good plan of God, the Lord will bless you. And if you disobey, the Lord will discipline you. And about the church, they are part in every family should be part of a church. And the church should work with the family to lay the foundation of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ inside and each and every family. We as families, we as church, we should rejoice with God, with what God had prepared for us. God had given us very good things, resources, and He has given us children. Spiritual gifts, we lack nothing, but we need to work with God for the perfection of the saints. We need to discipline our children, raise them in the fear of God, train them for the work of mission. We need to persevere till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we need to persevere till we all reach maturity, and also the responsibility of the family. Each and every family is responsible to protect their children from the threat of the enemy. In verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The family, each and every family, each parent, grandparent, and whoever there in the house, they work one unit to protect their children. There are a lot of temptations of media, bad friends, and a lot of hazard and threats on the children. The family should protect and keep the atmosphere of the house pure so the children will raise them in a godly way. The responsibility of the church, continue to teach, continue to admonish, but speaking the truth in love. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Discipleship of children is inside the family. That's why the church should invest in the life of each and every family, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes the family have other members. Basically, each family composed of father and mother and children. The father and the mother, listen, they should agree with one another with the word of God. And they should agree with the teaching of the church, and the church should agree with the word of God. There should be agreement about the teaching and the discipline. As well as, if they are grandparents, if they are uncles, aunties, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whoever they are in the family, they should agree with one accord, in one direction. If there is some issue, if the family agrees, it is no, it is no. If the family agree it is yes, it is yes. If the family agree it is not allowed, it is not allowed. Not that the father will say no and the grandmother will say yes. Or the mother will say yes, but the grandmother will say no. If the parent will say not allowed, the grandparent should not say it is allowed. That will cause confusion and rebelliousness and disobedience in the life of the children as disciples of the Lord. We need to be careful. All the parts of the body are important for discipleship, but we must agree with the Lord, and the church should agree with the word, and the parents should agree, and those in the family should agree with the church. There's one more question that always raises up. up to which age the children should be under the care of their parents. Until they are 18 years old, or until they get married, or until when? Let me answer this question this way. Up to which time that we as a family should be under the care of the church? We need to be under the care of the church until the Lord will come, and if He tarry, we should be under the care of the church until we are buried. So here, we have a real responsibility to care for our children as they are our disciples. Church should be responsible to care for families. Parents should be keen to keep their children in order with Christ, to grow, to protect them, to direct them in the ways of God, till the Lord will come, or till the parents are dead. Let's all stand in God's presence. Let's commit our ways to God. Obed is God's servant, and our children, they should be raised up as the servant of God. There's no other way for us but to obey Him. Let us come to the Lord in repentance. Let us ask Him to change our heart and mind and renew it. Let us accept His will and His direction and His discipline in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Direct us. Speak to each and every one. You have spoken, Lord. Convict the parents to repent. Convict the children to repent. Convict the grandparents to repent. Convict the church to repent and do what is right. In the name of Jesus. Lord, for your word to us. Thank you for convicting us. Thank you for those who commit their lives to you. Take your word. Have to spread it and let accomplish the purpose of sending it. God bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. Keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.